The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us now on the line is Representative Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, a member of the Benghazi Committee, on the day that we're going to get our first official look at what this committee has uncovered in their lengthy investigation of the Benghazi affair. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
You know, we have been digesting some of the stuff that is already out there this morning, the advanced look that people have been given. But I'd just like to give you your opportunity to say what you think is the most important thing you found as in this report, and what was the most shocking development that you uncovered?
The evidence shows, and I think shows rather strongly, that the administration and the secretary misled the American people. They misled the American people because it was 56 days before an election when this tragedy took place, when this terrorist attack took place. Libya was supposed to be their legacy. You know, this was how this was supposed to be how foreign policy works. You oust the dictator, you do it with no boots on the ground, you're part of the Arab Spring. This was, they were invested in this. And they were so invested in this, it didn't matter that in the next 13 months after Gaddafi was gone, that you had 200 security incidents. You had a diplomat security agent, when he went to Benghazi and then came back, he did his service there and came back, that it was a suicide mission and that everybody there was going to die. They were so invested in it, they stayed there, and then the terrorist attack happened. And it happens on September 11, 2012. It happens with 56 days before an election, and with their legacy on the line. And so what do? They tell one story privately, which is the truth. They tell a different story publicly, which is it was a video-inspired protest caused by this inflammatory material on the Internet. And they start that narrative right from...
And Secretary Clinton was actively involved in those meetings where this lie was developed and then promulgated upon the American public.
They started it. They started this video-inspired protest narrative at 10:08, the night of the attacks. They started it while Tyrone Woods was still on the roof of the annex fighting for his life, fighting for his fellow countrymen. They start that. So, to me, that's one of the key takeaways. The other one is that I think this focus on political concerns also slowed down our military. I mean, they were discussing, should our military go in civilian clothes or go in uniform? They had Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, calling up Pastor Jones in Florida, telling him, make sure you don't put this video. I mean, they were doing things that you, frankly, seemed to me to waste time when you should have been moving as quickly and with the urgency that was needed to help our folks who were in Benghazi fighting for their lives.
Representative Jordan, it's amazing how the spin is already starting from this report. We saw a little bit of spin from the Democrats on your committee yesterday. But I keep hearing this phrase, and I would love for you to address it directly, that, well, there's no smoking gun implicating Hillary Clinton. We don't have a smoking gun here. First of all, do you need a smoking gun to reach the conclusion that something pretty bad happened and the lies were told? But beyond that, I mean, what would you call the smoking gun in your report?
We have all the facts, but what we try to do with Congressman Pompeo and myself is we take those facts and we say, why? Why did we stay in Libya when almost everyone else had left? Why did we stay when the security situation got so bad, when there were 200 security incidents in the 13 months leading up to it? Why did we stay when a diplomat security agent said everyone here is going to die? We stayed because this was their baby. This was their supposed to be their crown jewel of how foreign policy works. So we stayed for that. And then why did they mislead the American people? Because, again, there were political concerns here. So that, to me, that smoking gun or not, call it what you want. What it is leaders in our government misleading the taxpayers, misleading the citizens, and doing it for political reasons. That should not happen in a country as great as ours. whether it's Republicans or Democrats who do it. That should not happen, particularly at a moment of crisis when people's lives were on the line. That should not happen.
What I keep coming across here is that there was no sense of urgency that they could have done something, that they were concerned about, oh, well, we got to come up with a cover story to cover us up here because, you know, we're going to look bad in the middle of an election. They were thinking about whether or not they should go in wearing uniform or civilian clothes, but there was no sense of urgency that people were in under attack and were dying and they weren't taking action to do anything about it.
Contrast that, the lack of urgency here, the focus on political concerns here, with the urgency and the patriotism and the valor and the courage we saw there in Libya. You had folks in Tripoli on their own figure out how they were going to get from Tripoli to Benghazi to help their fellow countrymen.
Yeah.
They did it on their own without any assistance from Washington. I mean, that's the contrast that I think comes out so sharply and so clearly when you look at what took place there and what was going on here in Washington.
Well said. Your big portion of the report that you wrote with your colleague Mike Pompeo, Republican of Kansas, had to do with Leon Panetta and an order to deploy. Can you tell us about that? My understanding is it was around 2 p.m. or thereabouts, Washington time, when Leon Panetta gave an order to deploy. So what happened?
Yeah. It's a little later than that. The attack starts at 3:42 Eastern time. Mr. Panetta and General Dempsey meet with the president, a standing meeting they had. They meet with the president at 5 o'clock. Shortly thereafter, somewhere between 6 and 8 p.m., closer to 6, we believe, Secretary Panetta issues an order to deploy. And then what we know is three assets were put in motion. None of them, only one of them got to Libya, and that went to Tripoli, and that didn't get there until almost 23 hours after the attack started. None of the assets got there before the attack was finished, and none of them even took off. None of them were put in motion until after the attack was over.
When the Secretary of Defense gives an order to deploy, why does nothing happen?
Yeah, we asked those questions, and we got answers. Some of the answers we frankly can't talk about because they were given to us in a classified.
Oh, did we lose you, Congressman?
Where was the urgency? Where was the same urgency we saw from the people there? Where was it? It was lacking certainly here in D.C.
All right.
And also, talk about Susan Rice briefly. Just one last quick thing.
Well,
about going on the five network shows when they knew this was not the truth.
Yeah, and she, you know, there was they started to blur the line early on with the Secretary Clinton's statement at 10:08 on the night of the attacks. Some of us sought to justify this vicious behavior's response to inflammatory material on the internet, starting to reference the video. But Susan Rice erased it completely. She went on there and said it was the video from the get-go, a statement that the folks at the State Department, particularly folks who cover the Middle East and the Near Eastern Affairs Bureau, knew was false. But this dichotomy, this contrast between what was said publicly and what was said privately continued for days. And again, it was not surprisingly that the public statements were the statements that best helped them politically, and those were the ones that weren't accurate.
Well, Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, member of the Benghazi Committee, thank you so much for joining us this morning to help us understand this important report.
Yeah, and really quickly, what time will the actual full report be released?
It should be out now,
okay.
And then there's a press event at 10 o'clock this morning.
Thank you, sir.
All right, it is now 7:44.